We're live.
What's up, everybody? God, it's just a delicious evening tonight. I feel good. I feel happy. I feel good. I feel like we're live on the air and everything. You know, I do a lot of front end web development, kind of the stuff with HTML, CSS, JavaScript, and we could add SVG onto that pile. I've been working a lot with SVG, really, a really cool technology that fits in with the front end world a little bit. And you know, in my history of doing a lot of front end development and doing some stuff with WordPress here and there, more in the past, but I'd say I work with WordPress every single day. But anyway, kind of living in that intersection of worlds. People that are like just front-endy nerds and people that are WordPressy nerds. I got that question a lot that was like, oh, that's a cool like plugin, or that's a cool demo, or that's a cool technology. Would it work with WordPress? Would it, you know? And I was always kind of confused by that, and I still am to this day that attitude exists a little bit, that kind of like it's confusing to those of us that live in both of those worlds, because you're like, of course it can. It's just a graphics format, or it's just a jQuery plugin. Of course you can. WordPress doesn't care what you do on the front end. WordPress more of a back end thing. But anyway, maybe we'll end up talking about that a little bit today. We'll see how this thing goes down. I'm Chris Coyer, and the Dradcast starts now.
From the bowels of WordPress Nation, it's
time. You know what time it is.
Busy at this time.
Drad. For the Dradcast. Here to talk WordPress news, events, and fizzy pop with community leaders.
Ultimately letting smarter people run the show weekly.
We bring you your favorite Santan alumnus, Brad Williams and Dre Armada. Sit back, folks, grab something to sip on, and get ready to press on. The Dradcast starts now.
That is right. We start right now, and we're back from a slightly extended Thanksgiving break. I think we needed that long maybe to digest all that food that I'm sure all of us ate. Dre, man, how's it going?
Jeez, turkey, stuffing, jeeping, hunting, more turkey, more stuffing. I'm damn thankful. How's it going, Big Brad?
Oh, man, it's good. I'm not loving your gear today, but I'll go ahead and suck it up. And
oh, I don't know what you know, 8-4 in the AFC West, I'm just saying.
Oh, man, if only this was a football show, I would be crying the entire time. But I'm super excited for today's show because we are definitely going to geek out. We've got an amazing host, so let's get right into it. Today on the show, Chris, I don't even really think you need an introduction, but I'm going to give you one anyway. So, you know, he's the founder of CSS Tricks, co-author of Digging Into WordPress, co-founder of CodePen, and the co-host of the amazingly popular Shop Talk podcast, Mr. Chris Coyer. Chris, welcome to the show.
Hey, all of those things use WordPress in some way, by the way.
Hey, yo, who'd have thought?
Of course they do. Powers the internet, right, fellas? Yeah.
Yes, sir. You're just going down that list, I'm almost out of breath. You're a busy dude, man. You like to see, you keep busy, don't you?
It's the three things. It's CSS Tricks, Shop Talk, and CodePen. And that's how I stay busy these days. Everything else has to go away, unfortunately, because that's our enough things for my day.
There's only so many hours in a day, as all of us know. Definitely easy to keep those days filled. So let's get right into it, because we got a lot to talk about, right? But before we do, I need to know what you guys are sipping on.
Hey, what you sipping on?
Well done with the sound effects.
You know, we're trying our best to be like a Shop Talk. We don't quite have the soundboard.
Yeah, these are like custom ones. This is way really good.
We're trying, man. We're trying. So Dre, let's start with the disappointment first. Dre,
all right. Well, let's get the disappointment out of the way. The disappointment is that I'm not going to be drinking an alcoholic beverage this evening. However, I'm going to go get on the mat and choke people out in about 45 minutes, 50 minutes, as soon as we're done getting this kick-ass episode out of the way. So, Canada Dry, baby. What do you say, eh? Let's rock and roll.
Good choice.
There you go, man. Chris, what are you sipping on?
Yeah, you know what? I've been trying to. It was my goal to kind of have a dry December too, because I've been, you know, I like the sauce, you know. Anyway, but I had kind of a rough day today. Kind of even some WordPress related news that just kind of bummed me out. But you know, I'm happy to be done with it. All of my problems are solved. But I am gonna drink tonight, and this is gonna get a little. You know, I might be a little tipsy by the end here. But I have Milwaukee's finest Sprecher here. This is a brand new thing for them, the hard ginger beer. So we're you know, brothers in ginger tonight.
I love it.
Yeah, I was reading a I read it in the Shepherd Express, one of the rags here in Milwaukee, and it was like Sprecher's got a brand new brew out, hard ginger beer. I'm like, well, I love ginger everything, and love booze, so that's perfect. And they had a suggested recipe for a cocktail to make with it, and it was to mix it with more whiskey.
Well, that's terrible. Said no one ever.
Yeah, so I poured a glass into my favorite copper mug here of Oban, my favorite scotch. And maybe I'll pour them together, maybe I'll drink them separately, but, you know, it's going to be a rough evening.
Mix some beer and whiskey, that might be a first.
The most consumption in one episode, though, I think, it still goes to Chuck Reynolds, and he put a six-pack back in about 45 minutes.
Really? That's completely badass.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
Speaking a little cursive, I know that shit.
Have you ever heard of Wizard Staff? You could have played Wizard Staff. It's kind of when you slug a beer, and then you hold that one in your hand, you get another beer, and you duct tape it to the one that you just finished drinking. I got the idea from Wilto on Twitter, and I've played it several times since then. It's great. And then ideally, you play it like while you're camping, and you just play it all day. And by the end of the day, you know, you have a legit staff that you're walking around with.
That has to happen.
You actually think you're a wizard by that point, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You get all kinds of cool powers.
You're casting spells throughout the rest of the night.
Oh, that is so happening.
That's dangerous. Oh man, this is gonna be a great show. I can already tell. So I'm pretty excited. I don't know if I'm excited or if I'm sad for the Dradcast or happy because you're 3 days into December and we broke your dry spell on this show. So that's I don't know if that's a good thing or not, but I will not let you drink alone, Chris. So I actually have a drink one of my home brews, my blueberry wheat, which is going down pretty well tonight.
A home brew, that's awesome. How do you do? Is there real blueberries in it?
I use a blueberry extract, actually, because I heard real blueberries are really hard to get flavor from because you actually use like 5 pounds
of them.
Oh, yeah. Maybe in my next one I'll go with the real stuff, but it is real. It's just extract, right? So, cheers, fellas. Here's to a
salut.
Great show. So let's dive in. We got a lot to cover in a short period of time to do it. Chris, I think most, like I mentioned in the beginning, most people out there are pretty familiar with you. You've been around for a while, you know, doing some really cool stuff around the world of CSS and WordPress, which is obviously pretty relatable to this show. Generally on the interview, we like to kind of step back and kind of get the history of you know, how you got to where you're at and kind of your path through it. I think we talked about it a little bit, and honestly, that's kind of been there, done that. You've done quite a few shows and interviews and discussions around that, so... I don't want to spend too much time on kind of diving into the deep past of how you went to school and, you know, ended up in some, you know, web dev jobs and took an interest to it. But I thought maybe we could kind of fast forward and get into some more current stuff. Talk about some of the more current projects you got going on. And like we saw in the intro, you have quite a few. So I think what you're probably most known for, and definitely correct me if I'm wrong, is probably your CSS Tricks site.
Yeah, probably.
And that's been around. I didn't realize how long that's been around until I kind of looked up the history of it. You launched it around 2007, right?
Yeah, that's right. Which is kind of old because it's going on 2015, so it's going to be 8 years old, which is kind of old in web stuff. But it's, you know, compared to think Smashing Magazine is older. A List Apart is like three times as old. I feel like it's not. It's kind of like a an awkward teenager or something.
An awkward teen. That's one way to describe the site. Yeah. It's established, let's put it that way, right? It's an established site. It's a resource that people have grown to love and trust. And, you know, maybe you could just talk about kind of the idea behind starting it and what, you know, initially what your goals for the site were and kind of how maybe that evolved as the site kind of grew and you grew as a dev.
Sure. I mean, if I started it now, I sure as heck wouldn't have called it CSS Tricks because it's just the cheesiest name ever. You know, I don't know. I think people are like have seen it so many times that they kind of stop thinking about it. But if you just say it out loud, it's such a stupid name. CSS Tricks. It definitely like rings of a site name that I came up with 8 years ago. You know. But whatever. It's the brand is what it is now. You know, there's no changing it now. But it is just. Funny hokey name that I've sometimes struggled with a little bit, but yeah, I actually had lunch with a fella today who we were reminiscing about Darren Rose, pro blogger back in the day. I'm sure you remember him, right? Or most of us do. He was kind of like the first dude who was like making 100K blogging, and he was posting like, I just do this from home, and I use affiliate programs to make money and stuff. And we were all like, Darren, you're so cool, because he was like a super nice guy, and he was like good at blogging, and He had this like photography site that was the main one he made money from, but then had Pro Blogger too, and you know, he would sell ads on him, but the content with the site was like him teaching us how to be better bloggers, which is, you know, super meta. But anyway, it was kind of like, I remember like totally looking up to him, being like, that is an awesome way to make money. You write, you sell ads, you make money from doing whatever you want. It's such a cool thing. And I had like an idea to kind of do the same thing. And Chief of Tricks was kind of born during that time. I had some other kind of strikeouts and some other blogs, but as I was building those blogs, I was kind of learning about, and they were all on WordPress, you know, like super early. I don't even know what version, but it was a long time ago. And it was like getting a kick out of working with the CSS and designing them how I wanted them to and stuff. And then I would just kind of write what I was learning on CSS Tricks. And that was the only one that stuck around, because that was the only one I had any fun doing. And then it just kind of grew up from there. I was like, well, I might as well not stop. I enjoy it, you know. And I had little moments of success here and there, and just kind of stuck with it over time. And it's opened any door that's ever been opened for me in my life has been because of that. So might as well stick with it at this point.
That's pretty awesome. Yeah, and I think so I know when I first kind of got into, especially around open source, and you know, I kind of started a blog. Because I wanted to write. It seemed like everybody, this is around 2006, seemed like everybody had a blog. Everybody was writing but me. So I was like, I should probably have a blog, right? So I got a blog, and then as I kind of dove into WordPress, I found that writing about what I was learning was a great way for me to kind of, one, retain that information, and two, have like an archive of cool snippets and things I had learned along the way. I wasn't always right. Like, I would write something, right, and someone would correct me in the comments, and it's a little bit, you know, you're kind of putting yourself out there, just like sharing code in open source world. So it's a little bit weird at first, and takes a bit to get over, but it seems like one of the reasons people really like your site and have for so many years is that you're very open about, hey, maybe I don't know this, but I'm just going to try this out and see what happens. And it's almost like you're kind of learning, you know, kind of with your audience in some instances, especially when new technologies come out and you're trying and playing around with different things. Is that, I mean, I guess the question is, how did you get over the hurdle of kind of opening yourself up and saying, look, I really enjoy this stuff. I geek out on this stuff.
I think you're right. That's the number one hurdle
to start that conversation. How did you get past that?
Yeah, that's, like I said, that is the hurdle. Everybody has that, right? Is they kind of like, why would I write this? Because I'm so scared that somebody's going to come slaughter me in the comments. And honestly, the vibe today on blogs is worse than it's ever been that way. Like, the chances of you posting something and getting some, like, if not a troll, close to a troll coming there just to correct you is super high, you know? So in a sense, that kind of, that tone that I have, that kind of like, hey, I don't know, I'm just kind of, we're in this together kind of feel, is a bit of a defense mechanism against that, kind of. It's kind of like, you know, if I talk more matter-of-factly, I'm going to get more matter-of-factly comments, you know, like that's just kind of a fundamental feature of online communities, is like the tone that you set, what you say, what you allow on your site comes back at you 10 times. Yeah. Your how you are is what you get out of your community. You'll see that everywhere in every community. And that's the idea, kind of, other than I just feel more comfortable writing that way too. That's actually how I feel, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm happy to, I wouldn't post about something that I absolutely had no idea about it and then present code on it, and that would be especially nerve-wracking, I think, in back-end code, because back-end code is kind of like right or wrongier than front-end stuff. Front-end is like, this is how you might approach this. There's 10 ways to do it, but here's one, and it kind of works for me, whereas like, this is how you salt the password is like, it's either correct or not, you know?
Yeah, I think that's a great attitude to have, and one that it's interesting that you say it's kind of almost like a defense mechanism. Hearing that makes perfect sense, and that might be something that some of our listeners can kind of take back, because I know I get that asked a lot. Like, how did you get comfortable writing about code or releasing code? And I'm not really a great, you know, consistent blogger. I kind of get in spurts where I write a lot and then I don't for months. But I get asked that a lot, and I just kind of tell them to do it. But I think that's an interesting approach to it, you know, kind of open it up. But, you know, if you want to be, say, look, this is what I'm trying, let's see if it works. Anyone have better ideas?
If your 100th blog post is easier than your third, you know, too. So the longer you do it, the easier it gets. That's and then you have to have some motivation to do it too. If somebody's just, I wish I had a blog, that would be cool. You know, like that's like not good enough. You know, there needs to be some kind of, you know, and your boss breathing down your neck isn't particularly good motivation either. I think it, in some ways it needs to come from within.
Yeah, absolutely. And you've grown quite a community over the years. I mean, it's not just readers and people not really engaging. You do have a lot of engagement. You have a fairly active forum. You have some various areas of your site. You also have the Lodge, which is kind of more of a premium members-only space, right, where you do more kind of training tutorials, videos. You know, maybe talk about how you kind of, I know kind of building any type of community around anything is really, takes a lot of work. It's hard. It's really hard to do. Did that just kind of come as the site grew and the audience grew, or is that something that you actively work to kind of engage with your readers more to help facilitate a community kind of coming together?
Yeah, I mean, I think on day one of the forums, it was, boy, I sure get too much email that's asking me a very specific tech question. And just for, you know, my sanity, I just had to draw the line at some point. I kind of tapered myself off of it eventually. But today, if you email me a really specific tech question, just like, I'm trying to do this, how do I do it? Here's some divs and stuff that I'm just going to paste into an email. I can't answer you. The line is all the way drawn at this point. But I will tell you, that's what the forums on CSS Strix are for. Go post it there. Maybe I can answer there. So if I have some free cycles, I'll go through the forums and answer posts. I should do better at that than I do. But there is a thriving community there. Like, the chances of you getting a good answer there are better than you emailing me anyway. So I try to make that clear right on the contact form as well. Just kind of like, if this is a tech question, it should go in the forums, you know, just because it just kind of has to be that way.
Yeah, I mean, that kind of goes back to the point of, rather than help one person, you can help, you know, your community, right, or help your readers, rather than one, even if it's a specific
problem.
That's a great
point. It becomes public content then.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, and through all that, though, you're talking about some resources there, right? I mean, it's not so simple to grow and harvest a community around something so popular, so important for the internet, really. I know I've been going to CSS Tricks since I can remember. I mean, it's been a long time. I was still in the Navy at the time that I found CSS Tricks. So a little telling, I've been out for quite a while. At the same time, you're starting to run other projects. You launched Are My Sites Up a couple years after that, but that year, yeah, you got into digging into WordPress, which is a highly popular site and publication that I know where, I think you gave me a couple free copies early on for some giveaway I was doing on a WordPress site years ago.
Go past me.
Yeah, there you go. And at the same time, you're starting work at WooFoo. This was probably a year after the launching of digging into WordPress. A lot of other things going on while you're maintaining and growing CSS Tricks. How did that go? I mean, in terms of managing all of that at the same
time. Yeah, there's been moments where, like, that's why now I have like these three things that I do and that's it, you know, kind of thing. Because I remember feeling like way overwhelmed at one point. I remember even when I was being hired at WooFoo, they had that same question for me. Like, why would we hire you as a full-time person? Do you have the cycles for this? And I did, because I had another full-time job, so it was just like leaving one full-time job and giving those hours to them. So it was no problem, and it wasn't a problem at WooFoo. But yeah, you know, Are My Sites Up, I started with my friend Richard, who I was still happily running it, and he was able to just take it over entirely. So I was just kind of like, dude, I know this is like probably not the answer you're looking for, but like, I need to step away from some things, and this has to be one of those things that I need to step away from. And that's kind of how it went with digging into WordPress too, which is still, you know, like, I co-authored that with Jeff Starr. That was an amazing experience, and it was great. And we released, you know, updated, because one of the sales tactics we had for that book is, if you buy it, you get updates for it for life from the login system on the thing, which is still true to this day. But it's been, you know, there's been a lot of updates to that book, and at some point I was just like, I need to do some other things. You know, I think people got the value out of that book. And at this point, there's so many additions to it that it's kind of like, maybe a new book is probably the plan. And I think that's what Jeff Starr did. He's just like, I'm actually going to write some new books about WordPress that aren't, you know, like what this thing is plus things plopped onto it all over the, you know. So I think digging into WordPress was as cool of a thing as it was. That was a lot of years ago, and it's now kind of run its course. I mean,
what was as a book author myself, I always like to ask people that kind of went down that road, because it's, if you haven't done it, it's an experience. So when I get to talk to someone that has done it, I kind of like to ask, I mean, you know, looking back, was it kind of worth the effort? Is it something that you would consider doing another book, whether it's WordPress or not, or consider doing ebook or print, you know, another book in the future? Or is that kind of, you did it, you had fun?
Yeah, no, I remember when it came out, it was like, and even years after it, I was like, that was absolutely worth it, because we did do fairly well off of it. We charged commensurately for it. The print version of it, we just decided to go full bore, super high quality print, you know, full color throughout with like hand bound books and stuff. They were like $70, which is expensive, period, for any book. And it's kind of like, don't buy this unless you're super sure that you want it, kind of thing. And you know, we sold a lot of them, and we sold a lot of PDFs too. We actually, it was early enough in the days of ebooks that we didn't even go down the like EPUB stuff, because we were just we hand rolled the whole thing. We did everything in house. Not that you can't make an EPUB book by yourself, but like, I don't know, we just didn't, you know, we just didn't like know how. I think basically just made a PDF. Here you go. it just wasn't in the right format either. It was a lot of like custom design on each page. There's little pop-outs and, you know, did you know kind of stuff. Like, I feel like EPUB is more like, has just a flow, you know? It's just like a, I don't know, whatever. It wasn't designed to be read straight through like a normal ebook is. Anyway, so I was like, as soon as it was done, I was like, nope, never again. Way too much work. Way too much work. And that attitude stuck with me for a long time. I was like, that was cool. I'm super glad we did that, but I'm not cut out for this. I way more enjoy the, like, I got an idea for a blog post. Post it, you know, like holding on to content for that long and staring at it and digesting it and stuff just doesn't fit my mind all that well. That said, I am kind of poking at a new book. Like, I think that it's been enough years that I'm thinking about, I can't share anything about it at all, but like, I think the bug has gotten me again, because I think it's such a cool milestone. Wouldn't you agree that like once you published it, you're like, I'm that guy that wrote that book, and absolutely, people think of you as that guy that wrote that book and stuff. I think that's kind of a nice thing that I miss a little bit.
It is a lot of work, but it, like you said, it's a pretty nice a nice kind of badge to have that you wrote it. And you know, even if you never update it or never do another book, that book is out there, and there will be copies to the end of time somewhere. You know, like, that's just that is a really cool feeling for sure. That's pretty neat. I always like to ask people that, and honestly, the answer is almost always the same. It's a lot of work. I don't think I would do that again.
Yeah, you just, the weight it weighs on you. Like, every one of these words has to be totally right. A blog post, I update 5 blog posts a day, no joke. I go in there, fix something that was screwed up, somebody emails in, I get a comment that says something. You can't do that with a book. It's got to be right. And that feels differently as you're creating it.
Yeah, I think I'm the only one that's written like a portion of a chapter in a book. So you guys can have it. It's good to go. Well, I, thinking through the WooFoo discussion there, that was right after the book version 2 of Digging Into WordPress was launched, which was beginning to middle of 2010. And then they, about a year later, they're acquired. WooFoo's acquired by SurveyMonkey. I mean, how was that all piece? And the reason I bring it up, because we're seeing that a lot in the WordPress space these days, whether it's a combination of companies, acquisitions, complete mergers, funding rounds. So that whole business, the economics of WordPress is starting to grow. We're starting to see these things more often. What was that like being part of the WooFoo team going through that acquisition in 2011?
I guess that's right. I was living in Chicago at the time. They offered me a job, and I was such a super fan of WooFoo and still am, that I just was like, heck yeah, I want out. I want to come to Florida. I want to work with some heroes of mine on a product that I believe in. It was like a dream come true kind of thing. And I did, and went down there, and it just was like, they were already 4 or 5 years into building WooFoo. They were already like Team WooFoo, you know? And I was glad to be part of it, and I got to do some fun work there, and I leveled up my abilities in a big way while I was there. But I was, you know, I was a little bit established at that time, too. I was, you know, C.S. Strick been around a while. I had this book out now and stuff. So, you know, I don't know what my point is there. But it did kind of catch us by surprise that, you know, the founders were kind of like, we're going to sell it. And, you know, and certainly they were like, well, that's a little weird for Chris because he moved down here for this. But, you know, I was single and portable, I guess.
that's like California.
I'm like, cool, fun, let's do that, you know?
That's a great bullet point on a resume, portable.
I'm very portable.
Yeah.
I think we just got a potential show title there. You seem from there to move. You moved on later on in 2011. Actually, moved back. Back away from Florida to Palo Alto.
That was part of the acquisition. That was a required moving of us because we had to work at the CyberMonkey office, which is in Palo Alto. So
gotcha. How is that? That's a different world.
Yeah, it was cool because that's straight up Silicon Valley.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's the heart of it. That's Palo Alto. It was a fancy office. It was like Facebook's old office. You know, it's one of those places on Earth where you know, Stanford is right there. You can't go into a coffee shop without literally every single human being is a startup. You know, they're working there's VC everywhere, and it's weird. You know, it wasn't necessarily bad, but it was like, this doesn't feel particularly homey to me, being a Midwestern chap. Anyway, I had to work from the office too. That was kind of mandatory, and that wasn't my favorite thing, really. I kind of, you know, as we all are in our living rooms at the moment, or offices or whatever, this is where I like to be. Anyway, it was cool. I had some great opportunities at SurveyMonkey. It was cool to work there for a little while, but when my time was up there, I was just like, I'm just going to go do some other stuff or whatever, and that's where I am now.
Yeah, I mean, I've always liked the idea of being able to be at home and work from home, and I think that translates to kind of how I work online and finding native ways to be looking at what I'm working at and working there directly. And you guys seem to harvest that really well by creating an editor that works right in the damn browser. Like, who would have thought that you could make that happen? Now come the advent of CodePen in 2012. Which is something that you guys started and is still actively rocking it out. What's going on there, brother?
Yeah, that's where most of my time goes. I would say I'm like a full-time CodePen employee. More of my time goes to that than any of the other things. Even though, you know, I still work on CS Tricks a lot. I even was working on it just before the show tonight and stuff. I still, you know, CodePen is has the bigger potential, is the bigger deal. I'm in it to win it with three guys. It's me and two guys from Wufoo. We're in the same boat with me. We're in Florida together. We moved out to Palo Alto together.
So awesome.
Yeah, and they didn't come with me to Wisconsin. We have since dispersed the U.S. map. But we've been just friends and coworkers for a long time, and they work with me on CodePen. And we're kind of like the last kid on the block, really, in... I think most people think of us as that kind of in-browser code editor kind of thing, which it is, but certainly JS Bin and JS Fiddle and some of these other ones have been around longer than we have. But we just thought, you know, it was kind of born out of this idea of, wow, there is a heck of a lot of demos on CSS Tricks. Those types of apps are the most compelling way to share those demos. They're front-end demos. They're HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. Let's share them in a place that you can play with them properly, where you can find them properly, where I can heart them and remember them and add them to collections and own them and have other people can like them and do those same types of things. We can build this universe around these demos, which is just exactly what we did. So where I do kind of, you know, pay homage to the apps that came before us. It's different and getting more different all the time what we do. It's a community place. It's this hive for things like that that none of the other ones really are trying to be, really, which is fine. You know, we're an editor, but we're an editor that has this whole community world around it.
Well, I'm pretty interested in it, and I love what it's all about. I actually, live on the show for folks that are listening, you should go over to blog.codepen.io/store and buy a t-shirt. Those are freaking rocking. So I bought a t-shirt while we were yapping right now.
Did you really? Thanks. Hell, you know what? You actually might be one of the first people. I just switched that store. That's a WordPress site. We used to just sell with a Wufoo form, but
yeah.
I split up just, or actually, I used a Shopify store too.
Yeah.
A little bit. Love Shopify too.
For sure.
But I need just for business and accounting reasons and kind of like trying stuff. Ooh, why is that all messed up looking? Ugh. Sorry.
Or is hey, that, sorry. As long as I get my damn T-shirt.
I'm using WP Commerce is the deal. So I've moved it to a WordPress plugin by our I'm sure our mutual friend Justin.
And awesome.
He's gonna be live hacking.
Yeah, it's good. Hey, have at it, cowboy. Yeah, Justin's awesome. We just talked to him about him and the WP Commerce kind of revival here in recent episodes because they've been around the block for a long time and have been doing it really well. They're really kicking it into high gear, and I'm excited to see what that comes from that. But congratulations on that. I tell you what, the T-shirts look awesome. The branding's pretty kick-ass. I'll be rocking a T-shirt as soon as I get it. You're a broadcaster in your own world as well. You've been doing some pretty cool stuff there. Actually, about triple the episodes of us. So we're the new guys on the block trying to catch up with you. You're at 140-something episodes of Shop Talk, which is an amazing show. I try to catch as often as possible. How's that? How do you love doing that, man?
Yeah, likewise, right? Not enough hours in the day. I wish. It's sort of my number one thing, though, honestly, when I'm looking for, like, media to spend my time with. It's typically podcasts these days because there's so many good ones that are so, like, specific, you know? Like, the days of me just, like, flipping channels are over, man. I'm, like, catching up on podcasts. But, yeah, it was like this. I would get invited to a show, and it was just so dang fun. I bet this happens to your guests all the time, too, that they're on Dradcast, and they're just like, well, that was super fun. I want a podcast. I don't want it to be super fun and then not know when the next time I get to have super fun is. You know, that's the nature of fun. We're like, I want to have that again. So yeah, that's kind of what I did, only I knew it was going to be a pain, you know, like it's a bunch of work too.
It is. It's like, not so simple.
Cannot pile on to the amount of work. I have to be very careful about that because I'm very good at taking on too much stuff and freaking out about it. So my plan was to just like next time somebody like invites me to like start a podcast with them, I'm just gonna do it. And it was Dave Rupert. Dave was like, I'm thinking about starting a podcast. I'm like, I'm in. Let's do it. You know,
awesome.
Which was almost 3 years ago now. So we just been plugging away at it. It's just a WordPress site. We threw up a podcasting plugin on it, which is still a ripe market, WordPress people.
It is. It's a ripe market.
Yes. The options are not great. Not that they're bad. There's a couple of them that are very old and just, I don't know, they just don't have the right modern good feel, like a good WordPress plugin. You can just tell. There must be like some rating level for, I don't know, just how a WordPress plugin feels, you know? When you got a good one, you know it, and when you got an old one, you just know it. They all have that old feel to them.
So when are you taking that show to the next kind of level and getting Dradcast to be part of your crew there? I mean, that's what I'm wondering, really.
We should. Well, at least we'll do a crossover show. We've been known to do that where we, you know, the idea was to have it be like a, you know, when whatever, like one, like a guest from CSI Miami's on CSI New York.
Like, 2 hour special event.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
That sounds like a lot of fun. Hey, we do it during the day. We can get some day drinking going on, and everyone has a great time.
Yeah, that's right. We do it during the day. A crap load of WordPress questions get submitted, too, just because, as we know, it powers the internet, so it also powers the questions that people have about the
That's great, yeah. So the Shop Talk, you guys are live every Friday, so tomorrow is your next show, the 4th. Let's see here, 9 a.m. Pacific, so noon on the east there.
Yeah, it's early on the east coast and noon for the Pacific, and it's 11 o'clock for us in the Midwest. Yeah, it's pretty cool. We have one tomorrow.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun, and like we mentioned, Justin was actually just on and just caught up with the episode at a really fun Halloween edition. It's pretty hilarious. You should definitely check that episode out and all the other episodes on the shoptalkshow.com.
It's good stuff.
Great stuff. All right, where are we going, Dre? Are we getting into some pressing topics?
I think it's about that time to get into this week's pressing topics.
Let's do it.
Pressing topics of the week.
Well, Mercury, man, that's a pretty interesting area that WP Engine is getting into now. is WP Engine's new high availability platform named Mercury, which is built on HHVM. I think the challenges with HHVM in the past have been that it likes to shut down. It shuts down services and servers shut down. I mean, so it's really cool in terms of its capabilities and how extensible it is. But availability was a problem. They seem to have worked that out. They've been working with the fine folks at Facebook who are building on the HHVM platform, and they've found a way to offer high availability capable HHVM servers for some really high traffic and high-end stuff. Have you guys played with any of this technology yet?
Yeah, I was going to ask, Chris, are you a geek out in the server level, or is that just kind of hand it off and tell someone to keep that online?
No, I could talk about this forever. But the first sentence of this article, I quote, "Imagine an environment where WordPress performs 10 times faster than existing PHP web hosts." That is a good time. I like that sentence. That's a good. Not that like I feel like WordPress is inherently underperformant, but for literally years on CSS Tricks, CSS Tricks like uncached is a slow website. Most people don't see it. Most people see the W3 total cached thing where it's returning the document in 150 milliseconds, and I try to keep the front end stuff really fast and clean. It feels like a generally pretty fast site. But when I go to the admin and go, add new page, it's a good 8-second page load sometimes, which is wicked slow, right? Like, that's just not how websites should be performing. And I've been fighting that battle forever. In different ways, and nobody can seem to kind of crack it. So I'm always kind of interested in, you know, just in this server world. It's not my specialty, but anything that promises just higher performance stuff is nice. And it, you know, this is like high performance in general. I clearly have a problem of some kind that needs to be solved. So it's a little different territory, but.
Yeah, it's a common problem, I think, for a lot of high traffic sites for sure.
Well, this whole stack is pretty intense and high. It's, you know, labeled high performance. HHVM is something that really can push the limit there, I think. But again, that availability piece was something of a challenge. So this is really where WP Engine's is trying to solve some pretty big problems that can be really solid, really impactful for a lot of larger deployments of WordPress for years to come. We'll see where it goes.
Yeah, I love the
load really help you with your database, right? It's just the PHP piece that it makes faster.
Well, it should be the whole stack, right?
It's definitely the PHP piece. I think is the core of it. But yeah, I mean, there's certainly a few sites out there right now. TenUp.com is running it. If you go to that site and click around, I mean, it's just stupid. It's stupid fast. I don't. It's pretty neat, and I think what's really cool is they're kind of also showing some load testing on some plugins in WordPress like BBPress that are pretty can be a bit taxing on the server.
Yeah, I bet I use BBPress. That's the forums, and I'm sure that's part of the trouble, especially because it means that the people are not only they're using BBPress are logged in then, and caching is usually off for logged in people, so that, you know, for example, they can leave a comment and see their comment, you know. But yeah, 10up.com is really fast. Although, you know, all of this boils down to just the time to request the document from the server, right? That's all of back-end performance boils down to the first line in your network timeline. Like, if that's fast, which it is fast for 10up, it's like 107 milliseconds, which is awesome. The rest of the performance of the entire site, though, how it feels and responds, that's all front-end concerns. And that's not really WordPress's... That's not WordPress, you know?
Right.
That's other stuff. That's making sure your scripts are concatenated and gzip is turned on and all that stuff that is irrelevant to WordPress. I mean, it's relevant to WordPress in that it's all related or whatever, but that's your server configuration. That's your theme. That's all that other stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean, if you've got, you know, 1,200 queries on page load, that's gonna really suck ass. It's not going to work out well.
That's your document, you know?
Yeah.
That's still that first line.
Yeah, it's pretty neat. It's obviously very, very new. I think there's only maybe a couple sites running it in production, but they're certainly going to be rolling out more. It'll be interesting to see. I really like knowing that there are companies like WP Engine and a lot of the other WordPress-specific hosts that are really trying to push the barrier on what they can do as far as load times around WordPress. They're really trying to solve that problem that you're having, Chris, I think, because you're not alone. I think a lot of sites have that problem, especially big content sites, big traffic sites. We work with a lot at our company, and you're right. You get into that back end, and we're seeing 30, 40-second page loads just to
load. That would be nuts. That would be a whole other level. 30 seconds is like a completely unacceptable. I find 5 seconds pretty unacceptable.
Yeah, I will stab you in your face.
You definitely need sub 1 second document.
Yeah, yeah. Time.
And even 1 second is pretty slow. I'd say trying to aim under 500 is acceptable, and ideally like 50 milliseconds. You know.
It'll be fun to keep an eye on this and see where it goes.
I like where this is going in terms of BB Press, Buddy Press, and Glot Press is the involvement with John James Jacoby now with WP Engine and them sponsoring him getting those platforms to work, at least initially with Buddy Press, to work better across the HHVM stack. He's already kind of pushing into trying to do that full-time with, a crowd funded Indiegogo campaign to get him some cash to be able to do this full time.
I put in on it.
Shit, yeah, so did I. I think this
absolutely
is amazing.
I did as well. I thought it was amazing.
Yeah. And then from there, he's partnered up to work on the HHVM stuff too. Like, wow, he's just he's already a beast. This is going to be cool. I think that type of involvement, that type of brain power behind working the kind of kinks out for that to work better across HHVM, we're going to see some pretty quick enhancements and capabilities, I think, in short order.
Yeah, I love it. So in case you're familiar,
I emailed him immediately, and I was like, hey, you should totally help me with this thing. Yeah, I see how it is.
That's great. He's actually a little bit shy of his goal. His goal is to raise $50,000. He's at about almost $45,000. So if you haven't gone out and thrown a few dollars John's way, check it out. We'll have a link in the show notes. It's on Indiegogo. There's a link in a lot of articles out there. But, you know, even if you only have a few dollars, send it. It helps. We really want to see John hit his goal. He's got 8 days left. I'm confident he can do it. But he's going to need your help. So let's finish that funding, get John working across all sorts of BuddyPress and BBPress Core and GlotPress for the next 6 months. I think that's amazing.
Yeah, super.
My news of the day was that just because it's top of mind for me, is that I, in an effort to improve the speed of my site, I was trying to put the database on a bigger, nice database box, you know? Like, that seems to make sense. A lot of sites do that, move the database, you know? But I ended up moving the database to a different host where the pricing was a little bit more competitive for a higher strength box.
I saw some tweets about that.
Yeah, I mean, it was just a mistake on parts, whereas you don't put a database host ever, apparently, I'm new to this knowledge, on a different host than your web host. You can be a different box, but it should live on the same local network, right? It shouldn't be like across the country on a different host, because then those two things need to communicate to each other with all the delay and stuff. Those companies charge you for the bandwidth between those two boxes. That's not what you want.
That is not good.
You heard it here first, folks. Don't do it.
Don't do that.
Don't do it. Don't do it.
I hope that works out for you, because I saw the tweets, and that's not a bill that anybody wants to be surprised by, for sure.
All right.
You know who I am?
First news item done.
I'm Rich James, bitch. Yeah. All right. 2010 was like the popular kind of theme for a long time, and every year since, there's been a new theme that's, you know, once we got away from Kubrick and all that fun stuff. 2015 is now out. Have you guys checked this out? What do you guys think about this?
I would love to hear Chris's take, because I know, obviously, with a guy for an eye on design, I'd like to hear what you think. What are you thinking about 2015?
I'm looking at the screenshot of it. I'm afraid I didn't catch up on the news entirely. Is there a live demo of it?
Oh, yeah, there is.
I just posted it in IRC. 2015demo.wordpress.com.
Nice. I like that they roll them out on WordPress.com. That's nice, because then there's probably a bunch of people that they like, you know, like default to using it first. Ooh, there's a bug.
Hey, you know what? So we're going to help you contribute to WordPress. Let's put a patch in a track. I think we should do it.
Oh, it's super nice. Look at how nice this is.
Yeah, I think so. This is one of the first, I believe the first default theme since they've switched off of, or since they switched to doing one every year. where you kind of had this sidebar on the left, and it's kind of in a static position. I think this is the first kind of style.
Yeah, which is so, like, people want that. This, people like sidebars. Just give them a sidebar.
They do like sidebars. They love their widgets, right?
Yes. This is super nice. Isn't this an interesting position for WordPress to be in? At least this was the vibe maybe a year ago, maybe, is that WordPress isn't a blogging engine. Stop thinking of it that way, people. WordPress is a CMS. You can do anything with it. That was the thing, right, for a minute? But all these things are like, they're blog themes. You know, like, this is for you to have a blog on. So, like, that was always at odds with that a little bit.
Yeah, that's very true. And you know, at the end of the day, I think we can all agree there are more bloggers on WordPress than there are people using it as a CMS. So
fair. And even the people that use it as a CMS probably
have a blog
around their blog. Yeah.
Yeah, I think they're going for the majority. I love the trend of having a new theme every year. And, you know, everyone has their own opinion. Sometimes I like them, sometimes I don't. Dre, you're the same way. We don't always agree, and I'm sure you feel the same way, Chris. So but it's fun to see them doing different things and getting people to talk about it and getting people involved to try to help shape it. And it's neat. It gets people thinking about designs and different things they can do.
Well, it follows the trends of the time, too. You know, there was not all of these have been responsive, and now that's just kind of a given.
It's kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
Plugins, another piece, especially when you're in the WordPress admin panel, that's getting a bit of a revamp come WordPress 4.1. Nothing crazy, nothing that's just game-changing, but they're adding another tab to the area where you look at installing plugins. There's already a featured in a popular plugin tab in that portion of the WordPress admin, WP admin area, but they're looking at adding via some advancements in the API where you can actually see recommended plugins. Now, this is kind of an interesting idea, but now you have featured, you have popular, and you have recommended.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit ambiguous.
Algorithmic in some way that looks at your other plugins and suggests it are...
That's exactly what it's doing. Now, the challenge that they've ran into, and this is still early in the development or the feature addition into the 4.1 stream here, is that it's sometimes recommending stuff that's 4, 5, 6 years old. So it's not necessarily recommending stuff that's compatible.
That's a bit of a bug. That's a bit of a bug.
That seems like a...
Yeah, I'm sure they'll fix that one. It really just comes down to the accuracy of it, right? Like, if it's just recommending things that are, you know, if you have an e-commerce site and think it's recommending these random plugins, it really just comes down to the results. Like, what do the results look like? You know, is it going to be legit? My concern is people are pretty trigger happy with plugins. You know, I'm sure you've logged into a WordPress site and they have 60 plugins that are activated, and they really need 5 of them. My concern is this is going to make it people very kind of trigger happy, say, oh, well, these are recommended. I should probably install all of them, and, you know, I need these, right? I need these. So I think we have to just see it in the wild and see how it's received and how it's used to really understand it.
Especially because they, I don't know, this is, plugins often need front end. I'm just particularly, like, sensitive to this, or often plugins need some JavaScript and CSS to do what they do, and that's not always handled, even on the best plugins, isn't handled in a way that's 100% performance responsible. They need to, you know, just inject a style sheet right in the head, or if they're like, well, it's only a little CSS, we'll just drop it in a style tag right in the head, and it's kind of like, those type of things are going to be kind of less and less cool as time goes on, I think, and there needs to be kind of a better standard way for fixing this. I had a post on it recently where I was just like, I don't even use that many plugins, and I find it to be a problem. In fact, just before the show, I was working on looking through some plugins and seeing the stuff that they insert and being like, now how should I get them to stop doing this? Of course, I can't go into the plugin and just comment out the line that adds the thing, because then as soon as the plugin is updated, that's gone, and I can't be responsible for that. So I got to dig through their code and find what it's registering the asset as, and then alter my functionality plugin to undo that. But I'm not that great at WordPress, so I don't know exactly what hook is the best place to do that at exactly all the time, and it's just like, this has got to get better. This has got to get better. I don't know how exactly, but you know, in my plugin, I had a guy work on another plugin that you load any page of a WordPress site, and up in the admin bar, there's a link called Assets. You click that, and it shows you all of the enqueued assets and scripts and stuff on the page. And you can be like, stop loading this one, stop loading this one. And it's nice, because then I'll be like, I'll do that. I'll load it how I'm going to load it, concatenated with the rest of my scripts, and I can count on this plugin stopping it, which is nice. But then sometimes it just doesn't do it. Like Jetpack has one that it loads on my site that it just will not let me unenqueue. It just like overpowers everything. And I'm just like, I don't know how to fix it.
I am the queue gate master.
You go to CSS Tricks right now. It loads jetpack.css. It's huge. There's a bunch of carousel CSS in it that I'm absolutely not using, that I cannot unenqueue, and it's driving me crazy. Anyway. Aside, sorry guys.
I love it. Oh,
please, we love the Jetpack Vince. We're gonna have a whole new segment for Jetpack Vince eventually.
Jetpack, Jetpack.
Oh, man. Oh, man. Another one, if you're. Jetpack Markdown is a problem. Anyway, good. Another time.
Another right. Show, Drake. Hey, shall we?
We shall. Let's get into this week's bar tricks.
Let me show you a bar trick.
It makes me thirsty every time I hear that damn cliff. Well, I'm going to go ahead and kick this off. I've got a couple that I want to talk through here. First one, pretty cool. It was actually posted in our internal chat, and I thought it was really neat, by Suzette Frank, one of our front-end designers. It's called csstats.com. You can type any domain in there, and if you do it, I mean, it's just the neatest thing, the stuff that comes out of this thing. It goes to your CSS and gives you a bunch of really cool data about what you have on your site, right? So it'll give you, geez, of course, now it's not playing nice with me.
Because I can't to do this.
Well, you should be. I can't spell, but it'll go through all the rules, the number of selectors, declarations of properties that you have on the site, total declarations, even down into the actual total number of unique colors you have called in our CSS. It'll break down hex and color codes, font sizes that you're using, the types of fonts. It's just pretty slick. It goes into the total and unique declarations that you have. Rule set sizes, the number of media queries, and then it'll break down all the raw CSS for you. This is probably something that you're familiar with or know similar stuff to, Chris, but I got a good kick out of this. I think it's a very useful tool for getting quick data or data points on the CSS that's loading on your site.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. I mean, it's kind of one of those, like, I don't know, you just look at it and you're like, cool. Like, that's
Or you cry a little bit. I mean, why do I have...
Yeah, it is a bummer. It does kind of hurt your feelings in a way. I'm kind of like, really? Why this sloppy? It makes you feel a little sloppy. But I'm at the same time, it's like, do I look at this and I'd be like, this is absolutely actionable. I need to take this data and go into my style sheet right now, and why do I have font size 2M and 2REM? Why is that a thing that I have? I should fix that. It's like... I wouldn't fix problems that aren't problems yet, you know? Like, I might use this as part of a refactoring effort, and that my goal would be to maybe make this sheet a little cleaner as part of a sprint or something. But I definitely wouldn't just be like, load this sucker up and then just go start fixing little things that you determined to be problems based on looking at this once kind of thing. Like, just, you know, relax. It'll be okay.
Take a breath.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that Chris Coyer just shit on my bar trick, I'm going to move on to my second bar trick.
He's trying to help the people out here.
I love it.
It's all about the people. And people, if you're listening in, we've got our own WordPress front-end designer position open, along with a WordPress developer position and client communications position over at Web Dev Studios. So if you're interested, head over to webdevstudios.com/content/jobs and apply today. We'll have the link in the show notes. Where are you guys at? I want to hear some bar tricks here.
All right. Chris, it's all yours, man. What you got for us?
Oh, I don't know. Like sharing cool, hot links. I don't have any hot links. We should do the next thing.
We need a hot links bumper. Hot links. I don't know. Cool sites, cool tips, cool funny video you've seen. interesting sites.
Oh, you're still trying to drag one out of me? I can probably find
some. Give us a tip.
Yeah, let's see. I could just look through my open tabs, of which there are many.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know
we'll
what?
Do it this live.
I have a link open here. I'll share it in IRC, I guess, that I found to be particularly good about just design in general. I like it when people write a post about like how to design, because it's kind of a hard thing to put your finger on, and people do a bad job at it sometimes, and sometimes are afraid to do it for the same type of reasons that we talked about earlier, about that some other designer might come along and be like, ugh, you're wrong, kind of thing. Like, design is such an ethereal topic. This one was about... It was kind of about setting text on photos, so it's a pretty specific thing that, like, is very easy to screw up, and there's loads of demos in here on how you might approach that, and kind of just putting a point on it, which I thought was nice. And I have it as an open tab because there's no... the demos aren't codified, so I was like, ooh, article idea. I'm going to take some of your cool demos and make them in code and then repost this article with, because that's how I do.
That's how I roll, bitches. Whoop. I love it.
Awesome. Well, I have a, thanks for that, Chris. That was definitely good to do on the spot. That might be the only person to do an on the spot bar trick. Very cool. Very cool. So I have a fun one. We actually just launched over an AppPressor. We launched the latest and the greatest called Reactor by AppPressor. So check out reactor.apppressor.com. It is basically a native mobile app builder for your WordPress site. So AppPressor version 1 was more of a install some plugins, build out an app. Version 2 is actually completely rebuilt from scratch, and it's a much more intuitive, much more easy way to build a native iOS and Android app for your WordPress site. There's a simple video there. Watch it. It'll walk you through it. We've been doing a lot of webinars kind of showing off the tools. There's a free 14-day trial. Give it a run through. Build your app. You can actually build the app, submit it. You can do push notifications right through the portal to your app. It's pretty amazing. It all uses the new REST API that will soon be in WordPress Core, but for now you can just use the plugin. It's very, very, very powerful, and within literally a few minutes, you can have a native mobile app for your site. Chris,
this is important stuff, man.
This is good stuff.
It is. It's important because it's like, think of the kind of war that's being waged between native apps and websites. It's kind of like people are choosing native apps because they have some very particular abilities that web doesn't have. For one thing, its presence on your home screen. And of course, you can do things like save a website to the home screen, but nobody actually does that, right? They think of apps in the app store.
Exactly.
On the home screen, and then they think of things like push notifications. Your website, when you're not on it, can't notify you of things. That type of thing is coming to the web because it's trying to be competitive, but it's not here yet, right? So that's why tools like this are important, because they can kind of bridge the gap, you know? Ideally, we all kind of want the web to win. You know, there is no WordPress without web, right? But you know, there's ways that we can kind of bridge the gap in the meantime with nice apps like Reactor.
Absolutely, man. I might just take a clip off of that and put it on the website. That's good stuff, Chris. But it's really cool because it's actually a native app. So it's no longer kind of an app wrapper. It's a native app. So there's offline support. It's using the Ionic framework if you're familiar with it. So it's pretty cool. There's a free trial. You can go in there. You can actually build an app, submit it to the store. You know, within your free trial, and it'll still work. It's not gonna shut off. So check it out. We're pretty excited. It just launched this week, so this is the new hotness right here.
Make sure to check out CodePen.io. Again, that's a great tool that I think you'll find really really cool to work with. So go check that out. In fact, CodePen had an inaugural meetup in Austin, Texas, November 6th. There's a few more coming up. One in Istanbul, Turkey. Austin, Texas, and Manchester, New Hampshire. So go check it out at codepen.io/meetups. That's pretty damn cool that you guys really are starting cool. to get folks together.
Yeah, there's some more. There's even going to be more added to that. So people are kind of interested in bringing them to their own city, and you can do that too if you want to. You just basically email me, and we talk about it and do it. And I think that's pretty
exciting. Building and growing that community.
Killing it. Come next week, I'll be at WordCamp Las Vegas doing a business talk on December 13th and the 14th. WordSesh 3 coming up December 20th. Don't miss that. It's free. It's 24 hours of WordPress sessions with the biggest names in WordPress. You're going to learn something, I guarantee it, maybe even more than one thing. Go to WordSesh.org for more information. PressNotMix 3 coming up January 22nd through the 24th. I believe they're sold out, so if you didn't get a ticket, man. It should be good. They should be videotaping that as well. Beyond that, come sometime in February, we got Prestige Conference. I know that I'll be there with Brad, so the Drat will be in the house, and Brad is speaking. And, man, that'll be fun as well. Gosh, Chris, it's been great to have you on. Where's the place that people can find you? Where do you want people to reach out to you?
Oh, I don't know. I use my name for stuff. So, like, whatever stuff you're on, I'll be on that stuff, / Chris Coyer, probably, you know? So, at Chris Coyer on Twitter, chriscoyer.net is my personal blog that I occasionally update, and github.com/ChrisCoyer, that type of thing. You can find me. It won't be very hard.
Awesome. What a damn good show. Brad, where can people find you, big guy?
Yes, sir. Williams, BA on Twitter, and I pretty much use that everywhere, so same as Chris, but Williams, PA.
And I'm at Dre Maida. Front-end development, WordPress, the intersection of worlds, nerdy folks collide. It's okay to be to geek out publicly, share your experiences, and don't be afraid to be in it with your audience. Don't worry about the trolls, and don't be afraid to learn as you teach. How you are is how you will be seen. Ain't that right, Chris? There's nothing wrong with being a matter-of-factly. For the Rad and Dread, I'm the Doctor. Thanks for joining us on Episode 67 with none other than Chris Coyer. We're out, baby. Booyah.
Booyah. There you have it, folks, the latest edition of the Dradcast. If you dig the show, make sure you pass it on. If you have content for the show, want to submit to be a guest host, or just want to listen to older episodes, visit the Dradcast website at dradcast.com. While you're there, make sure you click the iTunes subscribe link that kept us on iTunes.
Don't forget to follow at Dradcast on Twitter, and we thank you for tuning in.
Join Dre and Brad plus a new guest host next week.
Yes!
On another episode of the Dradcast. Drag.